Hello, lovely listeners. This is Barry Mamo coming to you with Know Thyself. And we are here today. We're going to talk about this Africa's natural resources. Let me check the camera well. Yeah. Africa's natural resources. Today, that's our topic today. Africa's natural resources. Our president, the president of Ghana, was it in England, and he spoke very, very clearly concerning our natural resources and what we do with it and how it's only taking us a resource and taking to the West, and then they process it and then send it back to us and charge us high rates for it. So I don't know. It says it maintains here. I don't think far. Why it is like that? You know, and I was happy that the there's one thing that I really like about this former president. He carries himself with so much confidence. It's like, oh, you'll be a watana bruchire sa anti. Yeah. He's not moved by anybody. He's not impressed with Western civilizations like other African presidents are. So some of these are some of the things that happens that you see that he, and I like the way he just carried himself. If you want to see what he said, you can go on my Facebook timeline and you will see the video. You see a video there of the president speaking, the president of Ghana, President Nana Akufo-Addo, Addo Dankwa. Yes, and I'm actually really pleased with him. I don't belong to any party. I'm a Pan-Africanist. In Ghana, I don't support any party. I support a person. So when there's election, I look at who I think best can represent Ghana, and I vote for that person. Well, for the past 10 years, I've not been voting. So, but that's the person that I emotionally support. And I tell the people that follow me to vote for that person. So that's what I do. Yes. So basically that's it. There were some that were shocked that I said I was Pan-Africanist and Nkrumahist. I'm not the argumentative type. I keep it to myself. The fact that you were shocked that I was a Pan-Africanist even tells you that I keep it to myself. So Pan-Africanism has got nothing to do with joining any group or any. It's just a way of thinking. Yeah, we don't have any meetings. We don't do any. No, it's just understanding that all black people around the world are equal. We have a shared past, and because of that, we have a shared destiny. You see, that's Pan-Africanism. That all blacks are across the globe are the same. You see, it's like. Americans and Australians, they still see themselves as Europeans. You see? No matter where they have colonized, when you go to South Africa, they still see themselves as Europeans. You see the European South Africans there, the Boers. So these are some of the things that we have to see. So, and it's nobody calls them names, you know, but you start to support blacks in Brazil, blacks in America, blacks in Asia, you know, anywhere you find blacks, then you are tagged, you know. But it's a good thing. Let's support each other. If you believe in blacks all around the world coming together, you're naturally a Pan-Africanist. So I realized I was. It wasn't something that I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to become a Pan-Africanist. No. I realized that I was based on my belief that we are all equal and we have a shared history and then a shared destiny. Today, the question is why is it that Africans don't benefit from our natural resources? That was the question that came to mind when I heard the president speaking. Why is it that we don't benefit from our natural resources? And so because of that, I want to put Ghana's gold in focus. I'm going to use Ghana's gold as the focal point and discuss that the history of Ghana gold and how to move forward. Now, one thing you have to understand about gold is that there are two types of gold. Yeah? There is alluvial gold and there is real gold. Alluvial gold is gold that is mixed with copper. Now, so there are a lot of mines, gold mines around the world. A lot of them are alluvial gold. Now, there are only like three places in the world that has real gold. And Ghana is one of them. Ghana is actually the biggest. So South Africa has some big gold mines. Indonesia has big gold mines, but most of their gold is alluvial gold. It's not 100% pure. Ghana's gold is 100% pure. So we have some of the best gold. We sold gold to the rest of the world. We were so good in trading gold that, in fact, everybody called us the Gold Coast. The Gold Coast. Because when they came to Ghana, when the Europeans came to trade, in fact, the first time the Europeans came, they didn't come as colonizers. So they came as traders. So basically, all the traders that were coming from Nigeria, from Liberia, from Sierra Leone, from the coast sides of Africa, that were coming to Ghana to trade, the Europeans became transport experts. So they had the big ships and they were able to transport the traders from Nigeria, from Cameroon, from all over the place to come to the coast of Ghana, because Ghana was a focal point for selling slaves and gold. That was even way before the Europeans came. So when they came, they found Ghana to be a place where all the people came together. So a lot of South Americans, when they check, a lot of them think they are Ghanaians, when they check their DNA and their ancestry, they actually find out they are from, some of them are from Togo, from Benin, from Ivory Coast, from Ouagadougou, and they are shocked. They are like, oh, I thought I was Ghanaian. Because I know that the Surinamese, we came from Ghana. And I was like, yes. It's because Ghana was a central point for slavery, the sale of slavery. In fact, Salaga Market was the biggest slave market in the world. So slaves came from all over the world. And what the Europeans did was that because they came with bigger ships, they helped the traders to transport their goods and their wares on the coast of Africa. So that was the first thing they came to Africa to do. So bear that in mind. So today we're going to talk about like 10 facts about Ghana's gold. Now when you go on one of my pages, the Know Thyself page, I have a video there that I made when it comes to Ghana's gold. It's called 10 Facts About Ghana's Gold. So today we're going to go through that and then we're going to see how we controlled our gold and how we can control our natural resources. The lessons that we can take from how we did it before they came. You see, one thing we have to understand is that the Europeans came to Africa because they saw that Africans were too rich. We were so rich that they had it and they came to look for that, for the wealth that they found. At the time that we were rich, we were controlling our own trade. Today, we don't control our trade. They determine the price of our cocoa. Could you imagine? The cocoa that Ivory Coast and Ghana sells is worth $200 billion. But Ghana and Ivory Coast only get, because we only provide raw materials, we only get $5 billion out of the $200 billion. It's really unfair. Imagine that the Dutch, who are known for flour, but then they don't set the price for their flowers. That's what it is like now, right? So then that when Nkrumah was doing so well and they wanted, he was gaining so much support with his non-aligned movement, with his AU, Africa Unity, and they wanted to take him out, all they did was that they crushed the cocoa market. So, because they control it. And so then Ghana's cocoa stockpiles were just piled in Ghana and nobody was buying it. And Nkrumah didn't have money to develop Ghana. And then there was economic crisis in Ghana, and then it sparked a coup. So you see, you see how these things work. As long as we don't control the trade, nothing happens. They would always be at their beck and call. So even though we manufactured, Ghana and Ivory Coast produces 67%, about 67% of the world's cocoa, we don't earn even 0.1% of the money out of $200 billion. This was the figure set by the finance minister of Ghana. Out of the $200 billion, or million dollars, sorry, Ghana only gets, Ghana and Ivory Coast, which is the largest producer, only get like 5 million, which is so bad. So imagine that Holland, which is producing all these flowers, and they are being treated like this. You see, we have to be proactive and stop some of these things, because Africa was rich when we were controlling our own trade. I don't know why we don't trade amongst each other. I just don't know why. Intra-trade between Africans is so poor. Imagine that if a European has 100 oranges, he sells 50% of those oranges to other European nations before he thinks of outside Europe. Now, if an African nation has 100 oranges, you know how many he sells to other African nations? Only three. Three out of the 100 oranges. You see, so because of that, trading amongst ourselves is so difficult. So Nigeria has oil and they need salt. Ghana has salt and we need oil. Instead of us trading, no. Nigeria rather goes to Brazil to buy salt. And then our salt is there. It just beats the mind why we cannot come together. Because when Africa was rich, we were trading amongst each other. We weren't trading with Europeans. We were trading amongst each other and Arabs. I think if we just decide, if we can come to that, one thing that I studied the map of Africa, and I realized that when they were in 1893, when they drew the map of Africa, the Europeans' idea was to box in all the English speaking countries. So when you see an English speaking country, it is surrounded by French speaking countries. The other European nations were angry that England had won the race. You see, you have to understand that the idea of going outside Europe to go and colonize other nations was a race between European nations. That's why we call it race. It was a competition between European nations to see who can make more money. Hello, Nkechi. How are you doing? Hi. It was a race between African nations, European nations, to see who could become richest from exploiting other people. And England won that race. So when they decided to divide up Africa amongst themselves, when you look at Ghana is surrounded by French nations. The next English-speaking nation to our to the east is Nigeria, which is also surrounded by other French nations and Portuguese and Germany, and then to our west, the next one is Liberia. So you see that all the English nations in Africa are boxed in. It was a way of punishing the British. But then ultimately, it was a way of punishing us. So what do they have? They have two types of railroad systems. And the unfortunate thing is that it hasn't even changed. So you look at there's a French railroad system which has the tracks are a bit narrower than the English railroad system. And the funny thing is that Europe has moved on and there are inter-railroad networks amongst them. And you can take a train from here to England. But Africa, because we are still depending on the colonial railroad system, our the rails cannot move from Ghana to Togo. So because of that, we have to use roads. And the roads are bad. And you see, because they were fighting amongst themselves, so we had to actually build the roads ourselves that links the African nations. So then the transportation of goods amongst ourselves doesn't work. So in my mind, West Africans forming, hello, Haruna, how are you doing? Great to have you here. So the fact that we formed ECOWAS, Economic Community of West African States, the first thing they should have done was build railroads inside Africa. Finish. I think that would have lifted the African trade amongst ourselves so high. But instead of that, they just sat together and gave big speeches, had big meetings, and nothing happened. Up to today, nothing happened with ECOWAS. You see, because the movement of goods is what propels trade and riches. So that is it's my prayer that's one thing that the African Union would set up. You know, we might not be able to send a spaceship to space and all these fancy things that the Westerners do fine. Let's build our infrastructure amongst ourselves. That is how we can neglect their stock exchanges. So that when, for instance, a president is doing very well, then the West will try to sabotage him by destroying or crashing the market for the particular goods that he's using. So that's what they did to Nkrumah. So it got to a time there was no money to do his developmental projects. They stifled him. They stifled him. You see, and that's what they do to African leaders. That's what they do to African leaders. So when an African has 3 oranges, he only 100 oranges, he only sells 3 to his neighbor, his other African. When a European has 100 oranges, he sells 50 to his neighbor. So you see why the whole of Europe is rich. It's not only one nation that is rich. It's the whole of Europe. At the time when Africans, we controlled our trade, it was the whole of Africa that was rich. It wasn't just one nation. You see? So we have to build back our... That is how we can reclaim our natural resources. That is how we can reclaim our natural resources. 10 facts about Ghana's gold. Between the 1300s and the 1800s, Ghanaians mined a total of 400 million grams of gold through traditional methods. So between 5 centuries, we mined 400 million grams. That's like seven stadiums full of gold through traditional methods. Why is this important? Anytime you... today, if I have a land in Ghana and a gold is discovered under the land, immediately you see foreign companies around with their cars around, and you see government will come and take the land from me and pay me and tell me that, oh, we have to give it to the foreigners. They can mine it very well. But Ghana was called Gold Coast, not because Europeans were mining the gold for us, but because we were mining it ourselves. We didn't need anybody's help. We didn't need anybody's help. We were called Gold Coast because we mined our gold ourselves. The Europeans didn't mine it for us. In fact, when they came to mine it for us, then we lost it. So that's the number one fact. The fact that anytime we discover a natural resource, we have to bring in some foreigners to come and do it for us. I can't think far. I can't think madness. Why must it always be like that? Hello, Joe Lee Brown. You say, yes, you're right. Thank you. Said, I see you, Nkechi. Hey, Nkechi, people are tracking you down. Yeah. You have to be careful. So we have to learn, we have to begin to believe in ourselves again, that we can do what we say we can do. God has given it to us and we can do it ourselves. We don't need foreigners to come and mine the gold for us. Look at what the Chinese have done to the eastern region, Galamsey. I went in March, I was in February, I was in Ghana. I was shocked. Almost every river that we passed was brown. Galamsey, they are destroying the waters. Number two, the second fact. When the Portuguese arrived, they were amazed at the gold abundance at the trading coast, especially Accra and Elmina. So they called that region the Gold Coast. They were shocked, the abundance of gold. That's why they called it the Gold Coast. In fact, the word Elmina actually means mine, the mine, in Portuguese, mina, mine. Yeah? Number three, 40,000 miners each year in the 17th century. So in Ghana employed, without the white man's help, 40,000 miners. That was in the 17th century, which means the 1600s, before the white man came. 40,000 people were miners in Ghana. That was the jobs they had. Today, how many miners do we have? You see? So there are more jobs to be created. If we don't bring in foreigners to come and do the thing for us, we will do it ourselves and we will give our own people employment. The young people are walking around having nothing to do. Why don't we process our own cocoa? I remember one time when I was in Ghana, we had a contract to give one government, I'm not going to mention the name, 1,500 tons of cocoa. Now, 1 ton is 4 bags. So 1,500, that means that is 6,000 bags of cocoa every month. You know how many tons Ghana was producing? Like 400 to 600. That is the amount they could process every month. That was back then. I don't know about now, because I know the Ahoy brothers have come to taking over the cocoa thing and they've really expanded it. But that's the problem. That even though we are the largest cocoa producing nation in the world, we cannot even process it. We don't have the equipment and the machines to process it. That a nation needs 1,500 tons and the largest cocoa producing nation can only process 400 tons. Why? And then we have cocoa board and they are chopping this money, spending money, they paying themselves. They are earning more money than the president. Sometimes you wonder how can this be? How can this be? Somebody who the president appoints is earning more money than the president. So these are the things. Number four, African kingdoms who did business with Ghana were from Senegal, Gambia, Ivory Coast, Dahomey, Nigeria, and other kingdoms north from the north from the northern part of going to Ouagadougou and others, Burkina Faso, Mali, all these places. Europeans joined the trade in the 1500s. So you see that we were, like I gave the orange analogy, that Ghana was a rich nation, not because we traded with Europeans. We were rich because we traded with other African nations. So for Africa to become rich again, we have to start to trade with ourselves. What did I say? For Africa to be rich again. Hello, Quincy. How are you doing? For Africans, for us to be rich like the way we used to be, we have to stop trading with Europeans. We have to stop that. The way to stop it is to start to trade with ourselves. Because Ghana Empire was rich, the Ashanti Empire was rich, not because they were trading with Europeans, they were trading with other kingdoms. Number five, in the 17th century, Wilhelm Johann Müller, a German preacher,
with the Danish African Company observed that no European had ever seen the Akan gold mines or even allowed near it.
You see, those days we used to guard the gold mines with such fierceness.
So a preacher, a German preacher observed that no European had ever seen the gold.
They came to Africa and for over 100 years, they were not allowed near the gold mines.
You see where the problem begins. Our present problems begin. Immediately we discover gold, we give it to you, we give it to foreigners to mine. That is our problem. You see, the European is not coming to work for you. He's coming to work for himself. One of our problems is that we are quick to give our treasures to foreigners. We are very quick to give our treasures to foreigners. So, in the 17th century, a German preacher called Wilhelm Johann Müller observed, he wrote in his memoirs, that Europeans weren't allowed near the Akan gold mines. So, even though they knew that Ghana was a gold coast, they never saw any gold mines. They only were allowed to buy it through the middlemen who sold the gold to them. We have to go back to that. Attempts by the Portuguese and Dutch to set up gold mines in Ghana failed. Not until the 18th century, 1800s, did they successfully mine our gold. In fact, there were some people that were killed. War broke out in the northeastern part of Cape Coast, the central region, because some guy went to order some, was he a Danish guy? He ordered some mining equipment and he was going to mine. Immediately the town people came and there was war and they fought and they killed all his people. That was how serious the Ghanaians were about protecting their wealth. Number six, gold production in the pre-colonial period. Pre-colonial means before the white man came. So, gold production in the pre-colonial period was entirely rested in the hands of Ghanaian chiefs and kings. The people of Ghana jealously guarded the secrets of the locations of the mines. In fact, not only were they not allowed to mine, they didn't even know where the mines were. Nobody was allowed to tell them where the mines were. Gold mining was a state-controlled enterprise. And restrictions were imposed on foreigners by kings, chiefs, and priests. Actually, there are stories of, you know how Africans, we are afraid of when they tell us that, okay, this is the psyche of the African. When the king wants to protect the forest, and he goes and he tells the townspeople, hey, townspeople, okay, the forest is, we are losing our forest, and because of that, there's a lot of floods in our kingdom. So nobody's supposed to cut the wood in the timber and the trees in the forest anymore. If the king says it like that, nobody would obey him. Everybody go like, I need firewood. Are you say what preservation forest? Yeah. So what the king will do is that he will call the high priest, and then they will go and pour libation in front of the forest, in front of the whole village. Or the townsmen, and say that the gods have come into the forest. And then they'll put some things in the forest, and nobody will go. That is how the African psyche works. We only obey God. We don't obey nobody. We don't obey any law. That is why pastors are like kings in Ghana. Because the only law we obey is God's law. That is the African psyche. Whether you like it or not, that's how we are. So when a pastor says God says, nobody can challenge him. But when the president comes and says that, let's do that, who are you? Come over there. We don't respect any man's law. The only law the black man respects is God's law. So then, in order for our kings to protect the gold mines, what they did was that they declared it as sacred. They declared the grounds as sacred, the mines as sacred grounds. So then, when the white man wasn't coming to dig the gold, He was bringing the machines and asking the Africans to dig for him. So when he goes to the mines and he sees the gods and the things there, he will not go. The black man will not get dig. So that was what happened, and the white people weren't able to mine the gold in Africa. Number 7, minefields found by Europeans were declared sacred grounds, like I was saying, by the natives in order to prevent mining by the foreigners. So what they'll do is that they'll pour libation on the ground, on the mines. Immediately the white man discovered where the mines were, the secrets of the mines, and they wanted to come and mine. Immediately they called the high priest. He goes, he pours libation on the ground. He declares it a sacred ground. And you know, Africans, we will not even attempt to go there. So then the white man wasn't ready to dig by himself. Come on. He wasn't ready to dig by himself. He was coming to give you orders today. It's exactly like the Galamse happening today, in our country today. The Chinese are not there to dig by themselves. They are there bringing machines and giving orders. And then the Africans are the ones who are digging. Right? So maybe we can learn from this. Instead of just going like, let's stop the Galamse, let's call our chief priests or our pastors to go and declare the ground sacred grounds. I don't think anybody will go and dig the ground anymore. You see? That is how we preserved our waters. That is the African psyche. I'm not saying, I don't want to go into the moral of it, whether it is good, whether it is bad. I'm talking about the African psyche. We only believe in God's law. That is the African psyche. As a leader, someone that leads people, that's what I've realized. When you tell people that they have to do something, they don't do it. But when you tell them that God is requiring them to do it, then they feel empowered to do it. That is me too. I am like that. We are all like that. There's no African who is not like that. We are all like that. You see? So they declared the mine sacred grounds, and then the Europeans couldn't mine. Number 8. In 1694, the Dutch brought zoologists to survey for gold in a sacred hill, about half a mile from Fort Vredenburg in Commenda. It resulted in a war. In 1694, the Dutch brought their zoologists to come and measure the grounds. And it was in a hill, some sacred hill, a place where, when they discovered it, you see, like I was saying, they declared it sacred. And the fact that they came to defy the sacredness of the place, the whole town got up and fought, and it became a war between the Dutch and the people of Commenda, and the Commenda defeated them and killed the the Dutch people. You see, they don't teach us this in schools. You see, the European doesn't teach black history, fine. But the sad part of the history is that we don't teach our own history. They only teach us how they defeated us, not how we defeated them. An Englishman called Joseph Barks, employed by the African company, imported mining equipment to extract gold from Manku Hill, about 4 miles west of Winneba. He was killed in 1700. You see, so people that, the white men that decided to defy the rules of the kings and go and mine, they were killed. Today, we even beg them to come and take the gold mines. That's what we have done. So they call it Obuasi Gold Fields, but it doesn't belong to Obuasi. It doesn't belong to Ghana. It doesn't belong to the Ashanti Kingdom. It belongs to some Americans with their conglomerates in South Africa. So immediately they dig the gold, they put it on the plane and take it. They fly it straight from Obuasi to South Africa. By the way, South Africa is where all the white people's companies are. That is where they take all the raw materials from Africa and they sort it out before they ship it to the rest of the world. So a lot of people were a bit disappointed in Mandela for not kicking out the whites, because that is like the control center of colonialism. And it's still up to today. So all the raw materials from Congo, from anywhere across Africa, it first goes to South Africa up to today. So this week, the gold that they dig in Obuasi, this week, it will leave this week to South Africa. And then they are sorted out. before they go to whichever country, Belgium, America, New York, wherever they go to. So that is the arrangement. That's how the world is set up. Okay. Number nine, even though Ghana still produces gold and other natural resources today, they are owned by foreign corporations and quickly shipped to Western nations. It looks like I'm just jumping ahead of myself. Number 10, today, Africans have been taught the ideology that without foreign help, we can't mine or run our own natural resource industry. But history proves otherwise. It is considered illegal to mine using the traditional methods anymore. Even though we were called Gold Coast, because we mined by traditional methods. Today, mining through the traditional methods is not kosher anymore. We need all these fancy equipments and these foreigners to help us. That is the ideology of the black man today. You see, so colonialism has really hurt us. And even though the white man seems to have left, they didn't really leave. They left their thinking with us. And so, before they came, we were rich because we had our own natural resources. When they came, they deceived us and told us that, and they tried to deceive us. We didn't allow it. When we became a nation called Ghana, that was when we actually became colonized. You see, our colonization didn't start when they were here. Because when they were here, they were just mere traders. We've been fed a lot of lies in our schools. They were mere traders. Colonization actually began after we became independent. Americans are the best colonizers in the world. You think the British were colonizers? Try the Americans. In fact, Africa was gaining their independence because Americans, that was the deal. After Second World War, America was the one that gave Europeans loans to rebuild Europe. Because what you have to understand, Hitler bombed a lot of cities. In one of the in the conditions was that Europeans had to lift their hands off Africa. But it wasn't just to lift their hands so that Africa would be free. No, 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 no. They should lift their hands off Africa as part of the conditions of the loans so that they would also benefit. So then when people like Nkrumah and some of these great guys come and then they go like, no, we are not aligned to anybody, whether America or Soviet Union. America is like, no, either you are with us or you are against us. You see? But then Nkrumah had formed the non-aligned movement. And non-aligned movement, in fact, Nkrumah's meetings were the biggest. Even the AU didn't, the United Nations, Nkrumah had to be taken out. Because UN wasn't popular. At the time that Nkrumah was around, when Nkrumah called for world leaders to meet, almost everybody showed up. If Nkrumah called for meeting and UN calls for meeting, people came to Nkrumah's own. In fact, the conference center was built specifically for that. It was called the NAM Conference Center. And then there was the banquet hall where after the conference, they had a banquet. And then they would play music and dance. You see, so the non-aligned movement, which was formed by Nkrumah, had more grounds. And you see, the 1%, the people that were are controlling the world, didn't like the idea that Nkrumah was gathering everybody whilst they wanted to do it. So, you see, there were a lot of reasons why Nkrumah had to go. So then what they did was crush the stock of cocoa. Why? Because we are selling to Europeans, and if they decide not to buy, then we are finished. So today, if Europeans decide not to buy our cocoa, we are finished. What kind of life is that? Why other African nations need our cocoa? Why don't we just sell it to them? You see, it's my prayer that we will rise up, we will change our thinking. Today, that thinking that without foreigners, we cannot mine our gold. Without foreigners, we cannot build our nation. I'm happy that our president doesn't think like that. He has such a no-nonsense approach. I'm just so proud of the guy. I'm telling you. I just wish he goes for another term. That is the kind of presidents we need. I don't care whether whichever party he is coming from, as long as the man has a straight thinking. We need people like Nkrumah and Nana Akufo-Addo as presidents. You see, we don't need white people. We can do it ourselves. At the time when Africans were rich, we were doing it ourselves. We only became poor when we brought the Europeans to do it for us. So let's think. Think again. Think hard before we you see, that is why history is very important. It makes you take inventory of your life, of the things that are going wrong and the things that are going right, and then you correct them. Now, after I've gone through these 10 points, now you see that it is best for us to mine our gold ourselves. And the best way to be rich as Africans is to sell amongst ourselves. Egypt's empire wasn't rich because they were selling to Europeans. They were selling to other Africans. Ethiopia empire wasn't... The Ethiopian empire, the Kush empire, the Nubian empire, all these empires, they weren't rich because they were selling to Europeans. In fact, Europeans weren't around. The whole of the New Old Testament, Europeans are not mentioned. There's no European landmark. You see, in Genesis chapter 2, the Bible talks about how the waters that watered Garden of Eden flowed through Ethiopia or Kush. The word Ethiopia and Kush are the same. But there's no European landmark mentioned in the Old Testament. We traded amongst ourselves. And we were rich for that. But today, everything we want foreign influence. When you go to Ghana, in fact, when you give somebody made in Ghana thing, they don't even want. They want Abrochire Nyema. You know the funny thing? When I was in Ghana, I had this bag. I'm closing. I had this bag. And then my brother, my junior brother was like, "Hey, you should this bag there is nice. You should give it to me." And I was like, "I should give it to you." So I just bought the bag. He says, "What do you mean?" I was like, "I bought it in Medina. I was walking with my wife at Medina. And then I saw somebody, and I needed a bag. And I saw somebody selling the bag. And then I bought the bag there, and I had it on. The bag was so nice. My brother thought that I brought it from you. Immediately I told him I bought it from Ghana. I saw that his interest went down. You know, and in my mind I was like, wow. So, because I bought it from Ghana. So, but the lesson in this is that anytime something is from Ghana, we don't see it as valuable. Everything must come from outside. You see? Let's begin to cherish our own. Yeah? I like how the clothes market is going, the fashion market. Now, Africans wear African fashion. It's really hot. African fashion is hot now. And that's a good, we can learn from that. So you realize that now there's a lot of employment in the fashion industry. And then there are models also coming up. There are a lot of clothes being made. People are buying now. There are shoes, handbags. It's beautiful. We should move that into the gold and into the cocoa market. Our raw materials, it belongs to us. God gave it to us. May God bless you. Thank you very much. We will meet next week. Bye. Hey.
Adamani da dona menye. Oye nyami na waya. Kanafu wanka. Wanka. Hey. Hey. Ename chasa. Tachu ya madaba jimu ya. Ocha vidi ya fusa ni mumu wa ya nadu maroko. Nane. Ename chasa. Tachu ya madaba.